नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमाचार्यम संस्कार चैप्टर 11 इज टाइटल्ड जज बाय एक्सेप्ट किंग फॉर ईगो टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 यावन सनो यदसा सुरुषस्य सज्जेना सा समस्या मनोरूपं สุขเกียรติอัตตนาติวรันติชังสุขนังสุขรังสัตยานันโนมัจฉาเตนิสัชยาสัตเณนะสัมมาสัมพุทธานะนะธรรม สัจจะเวทิสุจะอัตตนาติสรันติสัมโพสลันติสรังกายะตันนะนะกะติสะปุรุสัชชะสะเทนะกะตัมมะสะวานะเรนัง surgery, bodily nerves, acquiring senses. According to you, by the senses of action, our ability expands. They are increasing independence like an elephant not controlled by a tyrant. Pursuing auspiciousness, self also, pursuing other than auspiciousness, sinful activities. Translation. As long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three layers of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. The center expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using these senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to inflame and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. Responsible proof. As long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three layers of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. His mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. The center expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. That material, pious, and impious activities are both opposed to the principle of devotional service. Devotional service means mukti, freedom from material entanglement. That pious and impious activities result in entanglement within this material world. But the mind is captivated by the pious and impious activities mentioned in the verses, one remains eternally in darkness. One cannot attain the absolute platform. To change the consciousness from ignorance to passion, or from passion to goodness, is not merely solved the problem. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse number 26, so we learn from the truth we must come to the defensive mental platform. Otherwise, God's mission is never fulfilled. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this sloka is describing the mind. It's describing Bhagavad-gita, Bhagavad-gita, Anatmanastasya, Yenatmanadita. Anatmanastasya, Vaitetatmanastasya. The one who has conquered the mind is the best defense. But the one who has failed to do so, his very mind will remain the greatest enemy. And the next quote is, Vitakmanatasantasya, Paratatmanatasya, Sikosasitikikasitikamanatamanaya. The one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. For he has attained tranquility. For such a man, happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, he is called, they are all the same. So, we need to focus, we can understand that until the mind comes in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and actually in touch and has some vision, some realization there, then the mind is the worst enemy. So we know that our mind is our worst enemy because our mind is definitely not the same. But if not, we have some work to do in this material world. And that is the real work. Some people think work means going out, getting a job, first of all, going to college, getting a diploma, and beginning at a good job with a lot of money, and get a nice house, nice car, and attract a beautiful wife. And that's what work is for. But work is really for purifying the consciousness of people and people. It's not quite coming in, it's all very young from the blind enough. Amritam is a sacrifice for Vishnu. It has to be performed, otherwise, it causes bondage in this material world. So, here we have in front of us a mind, and we need to work on it. And how do we work on it? We expose the mind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and gradually, as time progresses, our mind becomes attracted. It no longer has to be forced. As the noise of material nature dissipates, and the Holy Name, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes over, then we are in a good state of consciousness. So there's a clearing state. It's like sometimes you may be outside in the winter and in the afternoon sun, and there's some clouds in the sky, but there's a breeze. And you can see the clouds growing, moving. And you can see there's a clearing, there's no clouds of where we're doing in the future. Because you can see, you can guess what's happening by, how the clouds are moving. And then you know that yes, all I want to do is wait. And the sun will be giving its full impact on me, and I'll be doing it. Similarly, when one practices devotional service, very sincerely, and very steadily, then the influence of devotional service on the mind and on the consciousness will be felt. And that gives faith that, yes, all I have to do is keep doing this, and then eventually, you know, I'll be completely free from all this memories there in my mind of some of the things I used to do that I used to think that was the pleasure. And I will just be simply thinking pleasure in Krishna consciousness. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, this is entitled The Green Ways of Material Nature. And it gives some, you know, information there, what these three ways of material nature are, and how they influence the living entity. And basically, the influence is on the mind. And when one contacts the mode of goodness, there is illumination. There is a sense of so-called truth. Right? And then when one comes in contact with the mode of passion, there's some greed, some desire for material enjoyment, and intense endeavor. And then in the mode of ignorance, one becomes very lazy, one procrastinates, one is under a lot of illusion, and one becomes mad. So the living energy, we in various ways associate with the three modes of material nature in various forms. One can associate with our modes of goodness passing in terms to what we eat, to the type of people we associate with, to the environment we live in, with what kind of books we read, what kind of movies we watch, what kind of songs, what kind of music we listen to, and so on and so forth. So it is our choice. And we reap the result with either a agitated mind or a peaceful mind or a crazy mind. So you get what you want. So the living entity, if he is very sincere and wants to get free from this sukha dukkha, this happiness and distress, in this material world, both of them are actually lying, as described here, this prowess, empty prowess, activities are both opposed to the principle of devotional service. Because when we engage in a prowess activity, we get a reaction. When you get a reaction for doing something, there's a time period, you have to wait around for it. I think it's good. So therefore, we have to stay in this material world. And so therefore, as in the 10th chapter of the Gita, they come to the end of the night, but the ground to the end of the time. The ground is moving away from time, ruling a moment to be occupied. Because they constantly devoted and worship me with love, I get the understanding of which they can come to me. So Krishna reciprocates. You only come down to God mental. And as he's surrendered to me, I reward you with pain. So if he's surrendered to Krishna 24 hours, he rewards you fully. If he's surrendered to him, you know, 3 hours a day, he rewards you accordingly. That is why it is beneficial to be free from the material entanglement, specifically of family life, because now you have your full time at your disposal. You no longer have to worry about satisfying the mind and bodies and senses of so many other family members. And you can devote full time to self-purification and purification of life. So, here in this chapter of the teaching my Bible class, we're hearing about a king who is sitting on a big seat. And when there is a self-realized soul, there is a challenging king. But then this self-realized soul feels considering it first and foremost within his mind that is not influenced by Peter's passive influence. That, you know, here I'm walking through a powerful, but first and foremost, you know, there's these acts that are crossing. I'm not going to step on them just because I'm carrying a tool on my shoulders. So, he created a disturbance because he had a priority. He was in a kind hybrid, seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the hearts of all of his entities. And he is a friend of every single other entity. So, you know, he had to make a choice. Do I disturb the king, or do I disturb my purely acts? So he decided, I'm just going to do that. And the king, he got very agitated. He really was seated on his big seat, elevated. And he's showing anger. Not a very ideal situation. Someone that's typically in lower mental nature, and someone that's not focused. So then, the king spouted out some harsh words. And here he is on the way to a pilgrimage. So he's got some piety, he's got some, he's covered a lot of things. It's not like, you know, that when he sins, it's like, what did he do about it? And he's on his way to, you know, go to God. He talks to the ashram. He's, you know, quite sincere. But he's exhibiting some, low emotion. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it sounds familiar to me. In my mind, in my life, I sometimes do the same thing. And here I'm trying to engage with the rest of the group. And he likes to engage with me. So, maybe I should listen to what he means. If you're not proud of me, if you're sitting low to me, I can learn something from you. So this is what King Mahindana did. After hearing from Gopara, he had some training. He could understand, oh my God, I made a big mistake. This was a tremendous struggle. And I mistook him to be some kind of dumb idiot with a big strong body. He was carried by a bad animal. He was carrying my mountain bike. But here he is, you know, giving this, you know, knowledge of his soul. And I love this man. He jumped off his palanquin, paid his obeisances, at bay from his knees. So it's described that this magnanimous battle of an offense, a great soul, a liberated soul, that he abused him. First of all, he abused him physically, so he robbed him. Forced him to carry his apologies to that pastor that he wanted to sit on. And, you know, thinking that I'm on purpose in my life, you know, that I should plant his life and get out of the city. It can take any vivid energy, which was an animal, and engage him in my service. So, after he made his obeisances, he wasn't finished. He was very determined to take advantage of this sacred business association. So here he is on a way to the ashram, and somewhere in between, let me say directly there, he moved to the sacred business. He stopped. This is and we thought it was not as human like. The genre movie to the place of that people, TV, color strategy, they were using me. The kids of Bude, so they lay in the color suit. The name of the group is the A to the stuff. But one of the things that this body is made of three elements, that you are the identical with the body, it's made of three elements, bodies, you know. And he considers just his relatives to be the truth. That's all you care about is his relatives. You don't care about him that much. That's a good strategy. All I care about is my country. Maybe expanding into my policy about it is my case. Even not so much for us. Alright, also, the one who thinks that the land he is born in is actually miserable. I'm born there, and this is my land, I'm his body, my land is present. And who thinks that, you know, you go to a place of pilgrimage, and you just simply think, okay, I'm going to get this back, and my business is finished. I'm going to get this back, and my education, I'm going to get this back, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get this back, and I'm going to get this back, and I'm going to get this back, and I'm going to fly all the way from like America, and I'm going to get this back, and I'm going to get this back, and I'm going to get this back. Whereas, you can come to the temple, you can see the holiness, not the holiness, you can see the message of the holiness. If you don't do this, you consider absolute nobility a phenomenon. So, Maharaj and Indra, despite exhibiting very bad character and blasphemy and a realized soul, he rectifies and so great character to such a high degree. He questioned Pet Vidi when he taught him not to believe Krishna. Krishna. First of all, Pani Padena, he said he has patiences. Then he did Krishna. And he heard. Maharaj Gopal. And he didn't understand what he was saying. He was so conditioned to this Vanashram. You know, I'm a king. This is according to Shastra. I engage everyone in their occupational duty. And even I do it by force, it is for their benefit. Sudras, heard about, you know, Sudras, and Maharaj thought, you know, the first thing he said to Maharaj, he was looking at just kind of like, what was that? He was on a higher level of spiritual understanding than he was used to. He was used to the, you know, what's contained in the major portion of the creed, which is for the common man. The common man that is simply absorbed and even sleeping, mating, and attending, but at least if they listen to their major set, they can lead in its highest way, and they become elevated, and they can absorb the life, basically, they have to be disciples. That's the, what the maturity of the Vedas instruction is going to guide them for. So, Vyasadeva, after he had done that, he was not feeling so satisfied. So, similarly, one who observes himself of that section of the Vedas, there is not going to be that satisfaction in the heart. If one is not devoted to Krishna, then there is necessity, the constant is, what is happening is lamentation and hatred. Always hatred. And you get, and you work so hard to get what you're hankering for, and then you get it, and then you remember, I'm not a satisfaction. So then, something else pops up. And you hunker for that. And then you reach out and get that. And then you grin. This is the creative world. There's always some mirage, you know, that pops up. And then you can attract it to it. And you hunker for it. And then you think you grab onto it. And you can become satisfied on it with it. But it's simply amazing. You know, beautiful life, good bank balance, good education, you know, marrying into a nice family. And that's what I see that we do. Every month I'm about to remind you. Not that I did that yet, you got to involve some of the things that go to them. The 20 says that one goes after these things. You not approach this now, this is their feeling. You're too busy approaching wealth. It takes a lot of endeavor to get wealth. You've got to work hard. So that's actually a push, you know, to get wealth. Or you push to get educated so that you can get wealth. Or you push to get physical strength so that you can impress the opposite sex. That takes a lot of work. Alright? And then you think, I'm not born in a very nice family. Somehow or other, you know, finagle my way around with attractive women and a nice family. And I can, you know, become related to them, and then automatically I'll have this person. I'll have influence, I'll have money, I'll have facilities, and so that takes a lot of time, a lot of strategy. So the other side of that is here, I can't help you remember now. That is not what I meant to say. I'm the other side of that. Those who are on this path, are resolute in purpose, and their aim is wealth. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branches. And when your intelligence is many branches, it doesn't have the force. It doesn't have any potency. So when one has an uncontrolled mind, then the mind is hankering after so many different forms of enjoyment. And it has so many different plans at the same time with multitasking. So that you can, there's some hope of some pleasure in the future in so many different ways. And as one grabs on to these illusory forms of matter that the mind has dictated to you that you will get pleasure from, you get one, and it's rejected. And then another, if you're nervous for another thing, you try it out, reject it. Rejection, over and over and again. And the illusion of mind is that in the future, I will find something that I'm satisfied with, and will not be happy, but that never comes. So as soon as one is finally gets the point, gets the lesson from being in the material world, he falls down and prays and begs. And then what happens? The one that only prays when he talks about Jesus, he needs to spend his body by talking about the peace. In the course of like traversing this universal creation of the law, you know, from one creation to the law to another, from one planet to another, from one status of God to another. By the mercy of Krishna, you know, as soon as you learn your lesson, you're back. There's nothing more to be had. So you can really find that that's essential that you can be with your gifts of Krishna. You know, or you can grow. And, you know, Krishna is going to be. So if you just worship Krishna directly, you know, Krishna is all pure. But he doesn't give you bhakti. He, you know, he's the source of bhakti. He's the, bhakti is directed to him. Alright? So, in order to get bhakti, you have to go to his devotee. And then, when you get bhakti from his devotee by the association of the two devotees, you satisfy the pure devotee, you render service to the pure devotee, you hear from the pure devotee, and you practically apply what you hear from that pure devotee in your life, then Krishna within the heart purifies you and reveals itself to you. And I set out meant on a journey. From sin to this and that. We are also going on a journey. And every single person within this room has received the same benediction that Maharaja Bhudana received. They came in touch with a Buddha. And they had that same opportunity Maharaj Vrindavana received. Maharaj Vrindavana, as you see, as time progresses, and Maharaj Vrindavana was quite serious. He didn't understand what he was talking about. He asked him to explain it a little bit more simply. And it was a back and forth conversation between Maharaj Vrindavana, and Maharaj Vrindavana was very persistent. He wasn't going to just pretend and look good and that I heard from a self-realized soul and I'm, you know, maybe just push out without some understanding in his heart. He was very serious. And so he questioned, heard, and he got it. And as soon as he got it, what happened? He goes to the end of the conversation. After receiving lessons from the devout devotee Jeff Wallace, King Vrindavana of the state of Sardinia became completely aware of the constitutional position of his soul. He thus gave up the bodily conception completely. Never a king, never to the stature of a servant, of a servant of the Lord, is certainly glorified, because he can without with a difficulty, give up the bodily conception. So, from someone who is so contaminated, what the gall to like drop, mentally crowded, strong, living entities, to force them to like kill his telephone, and, have the audacity to speak false words. Thinking that he's superior to them. To someone who's like gave up their body construction completely. What does that mean? That in the Bhagavad Gita, the end of the last sloka of the second chapter in the purport, the contaminations of the material world are basically two. Is it in lordship and sense gratification? So these two things are the determinations that greatly distort the living energy. They trick them into thinking that we can grow in the material world. You can grow by putting yourself in a big right thing, put in a position of control of the nature. And you can enjoy it in the material world by enjoying your senses. Now, what is Krishna saying to the people about enjoying the senses? The reason for the death of God, Yuka, Vinaya, Eva, Faith. It is certainly like the enjoyment of the senses is like distress. It's one of this, if you go off your sense pleasure, you're going to get distressed. It's money. You have this desire, it is, you know, you're going to, you know, get some unhappiness. That's the metaphor. To enjoy the tongue, belly, and genitals, you know, with regard to different senses, different bodies, and different ways to enjoy the feelings of God. But what is able to tolerate these urges is to test the force of desire and anger. So, Maharaj Ahuguna, he conquered his anger. He conquered his overlooked. He conquered his senses because he appeared from a self-realized soul, and he wasn't finished fooling until he completely understood, and as described at the very end of this half of this canto, that this is when he was satisfied. And he's going to be fine. He's going to be able to hold with his feeling of life. So, by sure of God's mercy, every single one of us in this room has a different reason, a different direction in life that we put in the Shiva. And just because Shiva Baba is not personally present before our eyes, that gratitude and that devotion towards Him is still alive. And it is exhibited by the continued effort, the persistent effort to hear from Him, to hear from His devotees, and his refuge, with his graces, and practice with his graces. So, any questions, comments, corrections? Yes.
Well, if anyone wants to go, they have something to do, we welcome you. Because right here it says, please finish the Srimad Bhagavatam class with question, answers, and comments for 8:45. So I'm going to disobey this instruction, but with Arjuna, do you understand? Okay, he's on. Go ahead, let's talk.
My first question is, this is both on self-purification and public self-purification.
Okay, anyway, there's this book that was compiled by the BBT many years ago called Teaching is the Essence. And on the back cover of that book, Srila Prabhupada makes a statement from some quote from somewhere, I don't remember what it was. But this Krishna consciousness movement is like complete and perfect because its members, they become purified in their hearts by going out and giving this message to others for their benefit. So it's when one goes out and gives inspiration, information of the process of devotional service to others and encourages others to engage in devotional service, then you're simultaneously helping other people and helping yourself too. Because Krishna is pleased with you and he will purify your heart. And the living entity that you're talking to, the very encouraged, they will simultaneously become purified also. That's true. Okay, so Maharaja Man was on the big seat, and beneath him was Jagbar. So, superficially, Jagbar is less than but in realization of purification of heart, he is higher. So he has to judge according, there's different ways of determining according to Vaishnava etiquette, who is higher and who is lower. Sometimes it's done by age, sometimes it's done by the date of initiation, when your spiritual master, what spiritual master is in, who has your spiritual master, so you respect that person. But the topmost way to determine who is more qualified than you is one who has more realized knowledge. And that can be someone younger than you, that can be someone who's a disciple of your spiritual master's disciple, that can be someone, that can be a human, that can be a child, we don't know who all these children are. We don't know who any of us are. You have to be very careful. Like, Yaraja Rubina, he was like, he was bewildered, He thought this Jack Bar, he could scream and yell and he'd be all right. So, it wasn't. So, we don't know who we're dealing with. So, therefore, to be careful about every single living entity is a that must be the case. Another question. You're asking if kind of in a way that I really don't understand, and I do this person, if you have the time, or not. And if he doesn't have the time, then you ask someone else, a sister group, the same questions. And have this ample opportunity to invest in so many of God's disciples, so many of his disciples and grand disciples. Often, though we tend to do our best to practice our Krishna consciousness, still, sometimes very easily, we get diverted to those temporary attractions, even though we know that it's not. How can we get rid of this tendency? Like those saying goes, you become like your association. You seek after advanced goals. And you take their association, and then you take on their qualities. So it's very important. Actually, the mad elephant offense, when you take on the Charitamrita, to guard the secret of devotion, is described that you must be very careful and keep all unwanted creatures out. You put a lot of fence around it. And that fence is the association of the fence. If you associate with the fence today, then the creatures of attractions or the many varieties of Maya that are out there will be driven away. And the attraction of Krishna will be dominant in your mind. Yes. Please, Audrey, I'm expecting a question from you.
You mentioned that wants us to enter the movie with the water so that we have time to get the meditation meditation and we have time to give spiritual knowledge to others. So I thought that you mentioned that the time to actually give spiritual knowledge to others because we need spiritual knowledge and sustainable to show. And then another person mistake we said we are good to be so understanding.